Praise God, praise God, praise God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight, and I pray that you'll help me as we go through the Word of God. And, you know, the God that we serve tonight is a God of the present. Amen. He's here tonight. He's here right now. And we believe and we say often that He's as close as the mention of His name. He's the ever-present one who inhabits now. Amen. We can preach that He is our Holy Ghost now. You can get the Holy Ghost tonight because He's here now. You don't have to wait for another time to receive your miracle because He's a miracle-working God. Amen. And everything that God promised in His Word is for us. Amen. I want to say that personally tonight. Everything in His Word, all of His promises are for me. Amen. And there's many scriptures that bear this out. And I would like to, tonight if I can, stack them upon each other. And as we stack them upon each other, I pray that faith will stack upon faith. Amen. And that our faith will rise as we go through the Word of God. I'm not going to do any fancy dances up here tonight. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to impress you with oratory ability, but I'm going to go into the Word of God. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more exciting than the Word of God. Nothing more powerful than the Word of God. Amen. And so I want to stack them upon each other. And I want to start with Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the implication is that nothing can be against us. Amen. It can be against us, but not be against us. If that makes sense. Praise God. Amen. He proved it. Romans chapter 8 there tells us that He went to Calvary and He gave His all so that you and I could be saved and so that we could be blessed. Amen. I thank God tonight for Calvary. I'm here tonight because of Calvary. I stand here tonight because of Calvary. You sit here tonight because of Calvary. This church is here tonight because of Calvary. And can I go even a step further? You can go into Wichita and you can see the big churches. There's one there on Rock Road, North Rock Road. I think it's the largest church in Wichita. And they've got a big giant golden cross out in the front of the church. Big building. And when I drive by, I say compliments of Calvary. Amen. Because of the message that they talk about, they have grown into a large, large congregation. They're not going in the rapture, but they have their blessings because of Calvary. God blesses the sinner because He wants them to come to repentance. Amen. There was so much that came to us by Calvary. Amen. Your blessings tonight came by Calvary. Praise God. Your family came by Calvary. Amen. The car that you drive came by way of Calvary. Amen. He gave it all to us. Mere human beings, those that don't deserve anything from God. But He came, and Pastor preached about it this morning so aptly. Amen. He came and died on the cross so that you and I could have what we have tonight. Yes, sir. Amen. I want to repeat what He said. God loves you. God is for you. It's right there. I read it in the scripture. If God be for us, that doesn't mean if, and maybe He is and maybe He isn't. What that simply means is since God is for us. Because God is for us. Excuse me. And so with that, we want to add on top of that. Now, I could preach all night about Calvary. and we could shout to the tops of the roof, amen. And Calvary is so inexhaustible, amen. The message and the power of Calvary is what we stand upon tonight. To think that the great God of heaven that created everything came down to this world, and the Bible says he humbled himself. Well, praise God. He humbled himself. The creator of the universe, he humbled himself. And he went to a cross. He allowed that which he had created to slap him in the face. He allowed that which he created to nail him to an old rugged cross. Amen. And I believe tonight that when Jesus cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I believe that God Almighty that was in Christ Jesus was in him until that very moment. And when he took the slap on the face, God Almighty felt the pain. Praise God, the pain of rejection. Amen. I believe that all the way through the passion of Calvary, his Father was in him. Amen. That's borne out in Scripture. He was in him. He was with him all the way. And then when the sacrifice, which was the man Jesus Christ, when he became sin, God Almighty, the Father, the Spirit that was in him, the Godhead that was in him, left because he became sin, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Amen. Have you ever felt that way in your walk with God? Have you ever felt that way in life? My God, why have you forsaken me? Come on, be honest with me tonight. I'm telling you what, you're not alone. Jesus said those very same words. My God, why have you forsaken me? Amen. But he has not forsaken us. He's as close as the mention of his name. Praise God. Thank God for Calvary. Let's give him thanks for a moment tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Now, what does Calvary afford to us? Let's go to Matthew 25. Praise God. Looking forward to a special service. Is it this Wednesday, Brother Cowan?
Yes.
This Wednesday, and we're looking forward to that.
Amen.
But if it wasn't a special speaker, we'd be looking forward to our pastor preaching. Praise the Lord. Haven't we been blessed by the Word of God lately?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. That man that's traveling into a far country is Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven, who called his own servants. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're one of his servants. He called unto his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Praise God. Now, when we stack this scripture upon the one that says God is for us, it shows us that God is not just for us. He's not just saying, I've got your back. But what he's literally saying here is that he has given us the goods of heaven. He's imparted to you and I. He's imparted to us the Holy Ghost. He's given to us time, treasure, talents. Everybody's different. Everybody has their limitations. Amen. Everybody has their abilities and their lack of abilities. But he gave it to them. Amen. Called his servants, delivered unto them his goods. Amen. I suppose the greatest good that we have is the Holy Ghost and the Word of God.
Yes.
The gospel that we preach. You've got to repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We understand that tonight.
Yes.
Amen. But he delivered unto us his goods. And so he gave us our car. He gave us our house. He gave us the food that we eat. He gave us the country that we live in. He gave us the ability to read and see and to touch and to walk and all of these things. We take them for granted, and many, many times we use those things that God gives us, and we don't even think about it. Amen. There are some people that don't have the ability to walk. There are some people that don't have legs or arms. Amen. We understand that tonight, but it's an inspiration to me that the individual that does not have any arms, he paints with his toes. Amen. The man that did not have or does not have any legs climbed that sheer mountain. I think it's in Wyoming somewhere. It's just a sheer rock. And somebody knows about the story. Amen. And he climbed that without any legs. Why did he do it? Well, he just wanted to do it. Praise God. And he had some pretty good sized muscles. Amen. I might get 2 or 3 feet and that'd be about the end of it. So I would be a one talent rock climber. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. But he took what he had and he used it. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. And those of you that have been here any length of time know that I use these scriptures often, because it is not right for us to say, I don't have enough to do something for God. Well, praise the Lord. You can use this excuse or that excuse, whatever you want to say, but if all you have is 1 talent, you have enough to do something for God and to receive a great reward when this life is over. Praise God. And it doesn't say here that he gave them a 6-week study course. It doesn't say here that he prepared them ahead of time and say, now this is how you invest and buy and sell and trade. No, and he didn't do that with Noah when he said build a boat. Noah had never built a boat before, and he thought, what in the world am I going to do? Well, the first thing you do is you get a board and you get a hammer. Amen. And you get a saw and you start with the very first piece, and then you go to the second piece and the third and the fourth. And then you have good days, and then you have bad days. Days when you smash a finger with your hammer. Well, praise God. Praise God. Some good days when things go well and things don't go well. But you don't give up, because what you have been given is from God. Scripture tells us, I believe it's in Corinthians, and it says, what do you have that has not been given to us? Everything that we have has been given to us. You say, well, Pastor, that's not true. I work for my money. Well, who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you a mind to be able to think and to understand what you're doing? Who put you in a country where you can actually get a job and make some money? Well, praise the Lord. Everything we have has been given to us. We are merely servants. Amen. In another scripture, it calls us stewards. A steward is someone that takes care of the affairs of somebody else. A good example of a steward would be Joseph in the Old Testament, and how that Potiphar did not know what he owned, except he would go to Joseph, and Joseph kept the records. Joseph bought and sold and traded and all of that. Amen. And what we have tonight is either 5, 2, 1, 1.5, 3, 7, whatever it is. God has given to us talents tonight. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Your time and your treasure and your talent. The time that we have has been allotted to us. It is appointed unto man once to die. So there are only so many days that we have to work.
Right.
There are only so many days that we have to do the will of God.
Right.
And to invest I say that time is the only currency that heaven has given to us, and what we must do with our time is invest it into helping our family. Amen. Preparing for the evil day, as Scripture says, and to fund and to bless the work of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We go to work so that we can buy a bed so our kids will have a bed to sleep on. We go to work and we spend our time and our energy to buy a vehicle. Everything that we have is a measure of our life. Your car is a part of your life. Your house is a part of your life. Amen. The church is a part of your life. It's a very, very important part of your life, just like your family is very important. Amen. We're not laying around playing video games all day. Getting tight on the front row. That's right. Thank God. I know pastors behind me. Amen. Well, I won the video game. Well, bless your little heart. Amen. I'll tell you what, there are help wanted signs everywhere. Oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, just wait until you see a sign, go in there and apply and get yourself a job. Yeah. Well, praise God. And if you're good enough at what you do, you can buy yourself a Bugatti someday. Praise God. And folks will be jealous and say, oh, he's just one of those evil rich folks. No, we worked ourselves to the bone. Amen. And we saved, and we didn't go out and spend our money on ice cream at Brahms after church on Sunday night. That's a pretty good idea. Praise God. But we spend our time because, folks, I'm telling you, the time goes by so quickly. And here I stand before you tonight in weakness, understanding what I preached for many, many years, Ecclesiastes, as they say down in the South, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, oh Lord, we're not going to get anything done here tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, would you help me, Pastor? Amen, I need all the help I can get tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, and it talks about giving your life to God when you're young. Because if you say, I'm going to do it tomorrow, tomorrow will never come. Go ahead, if you're there, brother.
Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth.
In the days of your youth.
While the evil days come not.
While the evil days come not. Those are the days when you can't do what you want to do.
All right.
Go ahead.
Nor the years draw nigh.
The years draw nigh. The end is getting close.
When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
All right. Go ahead. Read some.
While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves.
All right, let's look at this picture that he's talking about in Ecclesiastes. The strong men shall bow themselves. The hands that did all the work are trembling. Mm-hmm. Amen. He said that's the day that it's going to come to that. I'm looking at a group of young people here tonight. Except Brother Keith and me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Read some more.
And the grinders cease because they are few.
Somebody show your teeth.
And those that look out of the windows be darkened.
Can't see like I used to see.
Mm-hmm. And the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low.
Can't hear like I used to be able to hear.
And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low.
Yes.
And when they shall be afraid that which is high, mm-hmm. and fear shall be in the way, the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that tonight. That's where we're all headed.
That's right.
Now, I'm just an old man standing up here preaching to a bunch of young folks, and you say, well, it's going to last forever. I've got all this energy. Amen. God help us. I look at Brother Micah. How do you handle him, Sister Sarah? He's like a whirlwind. I love to see him play the drums. Amen. Praise God. I do. I just sit there and marvel. And he has all those facial expressions when he's playing the drums. And I think, oh God, I'd trade places with him in a heartbeat. Amen. But I can't do that. Amen. Because time has passed. And time is passing right now before our very eyes. Praise God. Praise God. And so what we must do, as it says in verse 1, to serve God while we are young. And when you serve God while you're young, oh Lord, help us. I was out just the other day, and I saw one of our youth that is backslidden. And they were with someone else, and obviously they were involved with each other, wearing a little bitty short dress, and wouldn't even look at me, knew that I was there, wouldn't even look at me. And the young man that was with her saw that I was watching them, and he looked at me and mockingly waved at me. Obviously, she had said some things. And this is someone that I prayed with in the altar. This is someone that I have loved. Amen. Someone that I have ministered to. Oh, what a waste of life. What a waste of life to go out into this world, in the darkness of this world, and to waste it on the things of this life. Young person, give your life to God. Mom and Dad, give your life to God. Well, praise the Lord. Don't look at it as a waste of time. Look at it as an investment of time. Because we're investing in eternity. We're investing in something that's going to last forever. You say, well, I've failed in the past. Get back up and start buying and selling and trading again. Get what's left of your talent. Amen. And start to invest it again, and it will come back around, and you'll be surprised how much God will help you with it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord thanks one more time. Praise God. That's exciting that we've got something to work with. So I want to add something on top of that tonight. Luke 15 and verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Praise God.
Amen.
All I've got's five talents. All I've got's two. All I've got's one. Well, I want you to know that God has given us all that we have. This is the story of the elder son. Amen. The younger son took his inheritance and he left. Amen. He left. In Jewish law, or not Jewish law, in Jewish customs and the way that they did things back in those days, if a son did that, in many instances they would literally have a funeral for him. Because he had rejected the family. He had rejected everything that his father stood for. And he went and he spent it on frivolous life until he didn't have anything left.
Yeah.
Amen. But the elder son stood strong. Praise God.
Yeah.
He stood faithful.
Uh-huh.
And he went out into the field and he worked and he did what his father told him to do. And, of course, we know when the younger son came back, there was forgiveness. And I believe that's why the father said, it was meet for us to kill the fatted calf, because your brother who was dead is now alive. They had performed a funeral for him. He was as though he was dead. And now he was alive again. Praise God. I thank God that God can bring things back from the dead. Oh, praise God. When we fall away from him, when we sin, he's always there to forgive us. When we come to him in genuine repentance. And we may come back in the filthiness of our rags. But thank God we've got a heavenly Father who's been looking across the field for a long time. And he is excited when anyone that has left him comes back. Praise God.
Praise God.
We ought to thank God for that every day.
Yes.
There's hope for the backslider.
Yes.
There's hope for those that have fallen away.
Yes.
Amen. I believe that tonight. I really do. Amen. Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And so the Lord is like telling us over and over again, I'm with you. Thou art ever with me. I'm here. I haven't forgotten the work that you're doing. I haven't forgotten the labor of love that you're doing. I haven't forgotten that you love this farm. And that you're looking forward to the inheritance when I pass away. I've seen it. Maybe I haven't given you the fatted calf, but he said, if you want a fatted calf, I think that was the mistake of the elder brother, is that he never asked for a fatted calf. There it was in the stall, and he could have said, Father, I'm tired. I want to have a party with my friends. I want to kill that fatted calf and have a good time. Praise God. Amen. We can't get so bogged down with work that we don't have time for worship.
Yes, sir.
And have a party with one another. And to take some of the things that we have worked for and enjoy them. Praise God. Take a vacation. Barbecue out in the backyard. There's nothing wrong with those things. Amen. Take some time to relax.
Yes,
sharpen your axe. Amen. Somebody said the time you spend sharpening your axe is not wasted time.
Right.
And it is not wasted time. And so what we see here is that the Lord said, Thou art ever with me. Praise God. So what I'm saying tonight, church, is that we are not falling short. We are not falling short.
Right.
You can look around and see this and that and the other happening in our world, and maybe it would creep into the church. God help us. This COVID thing is coming back again. Let it not come nigh unto us. Amen.
Yes.
Let us go forward. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
But even if it does come toward us, we've got to remember that he is with us.
Yes.
And we do not fall short of the things that we need to do the will of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Heaven's warehouse is full of storage, of supplies. And there's more that's for us than there is against us.
All right.
2 Kings 6:15. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Didn't get it turned off in time. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with both horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Praise God. We ask that question a lot when we forget that heaven's storehouse is for us. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Right.
Now wait a minute, Lord. They've surrounded the city. It's just me and Elisha. And you're saying that there are more that are for us than for them. And Elisha prayed, Oh God, I pray tonight, open our eyes. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you, but I feel the Lord in this place here tonight.
Oh, God.
Open his eyes. Open our eyes.
Yes, sir.
To see what is available to us.
Uh-huh.
Praise God. We're not just a little church on a corner in a little town.
Yes.
Praise God. I believe tonight, I've said this many times, I believe there's light that's emanating out of this place tonight. Yeah. We're the children of light. The Holy Ghost is here. And the devils of hell see a bright spot right now in Augusta, Kansas.
Yes.
And where you go, there's a bright spot. And they know where you're at. They can see the light and they shun the light when you get close to them.
Yes.
Praise God. Open our eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. Somebody ought to just shout a little bit. Praise God. There's an unseen world. There's unseen help that is on our side, Pastor. And we're going to get the job done in Jesus' name. Well, praise God. Worship the Lord with me tonight. Open our eyes, God. Open our eyes to see what we need to be. Help is on the way. Praise God. And they made it through that time of testing and trial. Praise the Lord. Scripture says if we give of our life into the work of God, I know it's talking about tithes and offering, but he said, I will pour out a blessing upon you, but there will not be room enough to receive it. I'll have to build another garage. I'll have to build a bigger house. I'm going to have to get more room in my bank account. Well, praise God. That's what the scripture says. I'm not preaching prosperity doctrine here tonight. But I want you to know it's in the Word of God. He said he would pour out a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. And then he said, I will rebuke the devourer.
That's right.
Praise God. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Oh, God, help us to pray through some more backslide.
Yes, sir.
Backsliding folks.
Amen.
Backslidden folks.
Amen.
I'm just talking to us here tonight from my heart. What I feel like the Lord has given me for us here tonight. We look at numbers, but God looks at faith. We look at numbers, but God looks at commitment. Amen. We look at numbers, but God looks to people who look to God. Amen.
Right.
Is there anybody here tonight that would happen to have a calculator? Is there anybody that would happen to have a calculator? You got a calculator, Brother Joshua?
I do not. I got one on my phone.
Brother Callan's got one on his phone. No, I mean just a regular calculator. That's good. I'm glad nobody has a calculator. Because I was gonna have fun with it. I've preached this before, and I've been in services. Anybody got a calculator? Somebody raise your hand. I got one right here in my purse. Now, there's always one in the crowd. Got to figure things out. Let's see. 5,000 horses. 600 chariots. Mighty men of war. Add those all together. Hit the equal button and it says, you can't win. David was confronted with this. Israel was confronted with this. Send me a man to do battle. Almost 10 foot tall, this guy. Matthew, come up here. There's little David right there. 10 foot tall. I'm about 6 foot, probably about 7. another couple of feet, about as high as that light right there. And he said, send me a man to do battle. Go ahead and sit down. It ain't going to work. Saul got out his calculator. 9 feet, 6 inches tall. David, 4 foot 8. Add this together. Experienced 10-foot man. Inexperienced young man. Hit the equal button. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. But you know what, folks? God deals in the impossible. God deals in the realm of faith. And I say tonight that David had his calculator. He put all the same figures in there, but David's calculator was different. Because David's calculator had one extra button, and it was the God button. Push that God button, and all of a sudden it says victory across the screen. Victory. Victory. Somebody shout victory. Come on, somebody shout, God is for us. Hallelujah. Don't be dismayed by the things that are coming against us. Amen. Don't be dismayed by the height of the mountain. No. Push your God button. And everything will be all right. Praise God. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. All that I have is thine, he said. And then he went on. Let's add on top of this a little bit. I'm not going to preach a long time here tonight, but Matthew 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, ... Praise God. A sower went forth to sow. All of you know this. I've preached this many, many times. Everything he has, he's given to us. He's given each of us talents. We have more than enough. We have our calculator with a God button. Praise the Lord. We've got everything that we need. And then he says, here's your bag. Go out and sow it. Here's where the disconnect comes. And here's where I'm going to lose some folks here tonight. Amen. We want to bask in the warehouse full of good things. We want to enjoy the worship. Oh, I enjoyed the music and the singing tonight. I'm going up yonder. I'd like to sing that again when we finish here tonight. Can we do that? And have you got something else planned? All right, I'd like for those folks to come back up here when we get ready. And I just, I feel like weeping because I'm going up yonder. I'm living my life for God. Amen, this is what it's all about. Praise God. Sower went forth to sow. Well, I tried to sow, but it landed on hard ground. Everybody say, aww. Poor thing. And then somebody got enthusiastic and they sowed a little bit more and it fell on stony ground. And they came to church and they got offended by something the pastor said. Somebody didn't shake their hand. Everybody said, aww. Poor little thing. And they regrouped themselves and they said, I'm going to try it again. And they sowed. And oh, it was so great because they came in and prayed through and God began to bless them. And then one Sunday they weren't there and they were home changing the oil in their car. Or as it was in one church that I pastored, we were having a revival. Folks were praying through. And one of the men that was a charter member of the church. Everybody was shouting. I mean, it was a real move of God. And he sat there with his legs crossed, yawning. And something came over me and I thought, we've lost him. It happens. Somebody said, aw. Aw. Well, it's just too hard to win somebody to God. I'm going to give up. You know, I think what I'll do is I'll just sit on the pew. Praise God. I think I'll just resign the fact that I wasn't called to do this. And I know what I'm preaching tonight because there was a time in my life when I just didn't work. And Pastor, I said, I just can't do it. I'm not going to win anybody to God. I'm just going to be a faithful saint. Thank God for a man of faith in my life, Pastor Stanford. And he encouraged me and said, if you want to, you can. Because he said, what you sow is what you reap. You're not sowing enough. That's why you're not reaping. You need to sow more. Praise God. Because there are things that are going to eat up your sowing. Have you noticed we're in an imperfect world? Have you noticed that there is an animus against the church in the world? Praise God. But we're not going to build a barbed wire fence around the compound here and come and get in our holy huddle and plan this and plan that. And I believe in all of that. But folks, I want you to know God gave us what we have so we can bless ourselves with it and we can bless others with it. I think I've lost everybody here tonight. Praise God. A sower went forth to sow. You say, well, I don't know the will of God. You're a sower. You've been given a bag of seeds. I was tempted tonight to bring some popcorn seeds with me. And I didn't. But if I gave everybody here tonight a popcorn seed, you could do one of two things with it. You could set it on the shelf and just say, that's a pretty little seed. Or you could say, I'm hungry and I'm going to go pop it and I'm going to eat it. And you could pop that seed and you could eat it. Or there's one other thing you could do. You could give it away. Dig a hole in the ground. Bury it in the ground and walk away from it and get excited about the miracle that's inside of that seed.
All right.
Praise God.
All right.
Too many times we see backsliding because all we do is eat the seed that's in our bag.
Oh, come on now.
I told you I'm not going to jump up and down and dance to get you all excited. But the Word of God is exciting tonight. The Word of God is exciting tonight. We have the potential to eat up everything the pastor preaches and just consume it upon ourselves. I enjoyed the message so much this morning. Very, very good. Very timely message. But I can't just be like the Dead Sea and receive and receive and receive and let nothing out. Amen. Because after a while it gets toxic. After a while it gets to be like a briny, salty. I've been to the Dead Sea. And you can smell it before you get there. It's brine. It's salty. The fences that they have there, it looks like an ice storm, big old round salt all over it. And everything is corroded away. You can jump in the water. A couple of the preachers that was with us jumped in the water of the Dead Sea and they floated on the top of the water. It's so briny and so salty. You can't sink. They just floated on the top of the water. And they wanted me to get in. I didn't want to get in. smell too bad.
Yes.
But seeds are small packages of miracles.
Right.
Praise God.
Right.
Small packages of miracles. And they hold the potential to have great harvests. We saw a combine going down the road today. We were coming to church. They had it all set up to harvest corn. Big, gigantic machine, probably $500,000 invested in that machine. And they're getting ready for the corn harvest now. And then it won't be very long, and it'll be the soybean harvest. And then, even I think a little bit later, it's going to be the cotton harvest. And there's so many different harvests that are going on. But literally, cities popped up because of seeds. Nations survive because of seeds. Not because we eat the seeds, but because we give them away back to the ground. And they give back to us more, much, much more. 100-fold more than what we put into the ground.
Right, right.
Amen. God did that. God made that to give us an example of what we can do in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
There's revival right here.
Right. Yeah.
There's revival right here. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, everybody said sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Right.
You're not going to sow wishes and end up with $1 million.
Amen.
You're not going to sow wishes. See, help me, Henry. Praise the Lord. I need some more luck here tonight. No, I don't believe in luck, but I want to clarify that here tonight. Praise God. I'm not going to sow wishes for revival. Oh Lord, send revival. Oh Lord, send revival. I believe that God can send revival. I pray that God will lead us to the Corneliuses. Or that God will lead the Corneliuses to us. But the Bible says that when persecution came, they were scattered. And what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word of God.
Yeah. Right.
They took their bag with them. And wherever they went, they sowed the word of God. And I tell you what, it was such a powerful thing that the devil could not stop it. He would stamp it out here, and the flames would go here, and it just got worse and worse in his eyes. Amen. But better and better in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, this is so positive that when we sow the word of God, I challenge you tonight, get a little piece of paper, just a little piece of paper, and write Acts 2:38 on it, or John 3:16, or whatever scripture you feel that would be a blessing to someone, and find someone during the week and just say, you know, I feel to give this to you. Is it all right if I give this to you? And sow the word of God. I'll tell you what, it's the word of God that's going to produce the revival.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Revival is waiting on us.
Yeah.
Not on us waiting on revival. The fields are white, ready for harvest. They're just looking for someone to march out into the field and begin to harvest.
Yes.
Right. It's been said by my pastor, Brother Stanford, that one of the greatest sins we could commit is coming out of a ripe harvest field empty-handed.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us here tonight. But I'll tell you, we can talk about revival, but that's not going to bring revival. But if we'll cast our seed, we'll never run out because the harvest is plenteous. And there's plenty for us to eat. Oh, yes, plenty for us to eat. But people that get carnal are those who feast on the seed instead of giving it away. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1. I'm going to finish here in just a moment. But the scripture says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. How many of you believe that?
Yes, amen.
Cast it out after many days. It takes a little bit of time. That seed doesn't come up in a day. After many days, you'll find it. But I say tonight, Pastor, cast thy bread upon the waters, for after many days you'll find it toasted with butter and jelly on it. Praise God. How many likes toast with butter and jelly on it? Cast it upon the waters. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Praise God. I got a feeling tonight, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I stand corrected. I got a feeling we don't see the miracles that we want to see. And this is not to put anybody down or any situation, but everywhere I go, the sick are not being healed. The miracles are not taking place like we want them to take place. I think maybe, and I've got a feeling, that we're not sowing the seed. Because when we sow the seed like they did in the book of Acts, there were miracles that began to take place. Signs followed the preaching of the word.
Yes.
It's in the word tonight.
Yeah.
Praise God. Can we stand together?
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. I hope it's been a edification to you. Could I get the singers to come up here? The ones that were singing that song tonight. I'm going up yonder. He said, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. How could we do any less tonight? He that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life or life eternal. Could it be that we could lose out on our eternity simply because we had a closed fist and we were not willing to give? We were not willing to sacrifice. When the pastor preached, be faithful to every service, we've got our little excuses why we can't be faithful to God, faithful to the house of God. When the man of God pleads with us, give to the work of God, and we come before him with a closed fist, and then we say, I want to go to heaven. And we say, I love Jesus, when we come to the house of God. We're not fooling anybody. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling anybody. You're just fooling yourself. Serve God while you have the time to serve God. Do something for God. For heaven's sake, do something. Praise God. And God will bless it. God will anoint it. It'll take a little bit of time. Yes, it will. But if you'll be faithful with what you have, praise God. If you'll be faithful with what you have, God will bless it and multiply it. If it's just one talent, then you'll have another talent, but you're going to receive eternal wages. Imagine tonight that this earth in which we live was a gigantic stainless steel ball, and every 1,000 years a bird would fly by and brush his wing upon the face of that stainless steel ball. And another 1,000 years he would brush his wing upon that ball. And after a while, that ball would be reduced to nothing and it would be gone. Eternity has just begun. Eternity has just begun. Folks, what we do in this short span called life is so very, very important. Oh God, I feel such a strong anointing here tonight. Don't waste it on video games. Don't waste it on the things of this world. You're throwing away eternity. You're throwing away blessings for eternity. I'm not against playing video games, but I'm telling you tonight, friend, we cannot fall in love with the things of this world, but we've got to be consecrated and dedicated and given over to the understanding I'm going somewhere for eternity. I'm going up yonder. And if I don't go up yonder, I'm going down yonder. It's a reality tonight. It's a reality tonight. I wish I could swing from the chandelier. But I'm just coming tonight as a voice to some young person, some young family. Give your life to God. Win a soul for God. Teach a Bible study. Encourage someone. Get out of yourself. Get out of yourself and start casting it away. You're not going to lose anything, but you're going to gain everything. Come on, let's lift our hands for just a moment before they sing. Come on, lift your hands. Come on. It's not going to do you any good to talk in tongues if you're not paying your tithes. Quit playing games with God. Give your life to God. Give your whole life to God tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we lean on you tonight. Sing it tonight.